Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber of Bethel Church in Tuppers Plains, Ohio, where our mission is connecting people to God. I'm very excited to share the Word of God with you today because I believe God's Word is a powerful weapon designed by the Father to set the captives free. I trust the Holy Spirit will anoint this message and it will personally minister to you and set you free. God bless and enjoy this message. I'm going to start this message today. Not sure how far we're going to get with it. God has already derailed about everything that I thought was going to happen this morning. That's okay. Amen?
That's right.
We like that. We like when that happens. It's best that God is in control. I can tell you for sure you don't want Pastor Rob to be in control. You want God in control. Today I'm going to start talking about a stone cut without hands. And what we're going to look at the book of Daniel. We're looking at, begin with chapter 2. Next week we'll probably continue with this particular message. And then we're going to go on to chapter 3 and talk about it. But you know, there are some events taking place that could have some very significant prophetic consequences for our world. And that is, of course, the Russia invading Ukraine. We don't know where this is going, and there's a lot of prophetic teachers that are saying, you know, a lot of things about it. But we do know that there is a Gog of Magog, which most people believe is in the region around Russia and Turkey and all that area. That Gog of Magog is going to move with a coalition eventually toward Israel to destroy Israel. We could very well be seeing the first stages of that taking place right now. I'm not saying that we are. I'm just saying we need to keep an eye on what's going on. Look, the Bible is true. The Bible is real. And these things are going to be fulfilled. Whether they're fulfilled right now or fulfilled in the future, we can see things beginning to align in such a way that these end time prophecies are going to be fulfilled very soon, however soon that might be. When we talk about the last days, we can cover a time span of about 2,000 years since Jesus Christ died on this cross for our sins, came back to life, and then ascended to heaven. We've been living in what the church has believed are the last days. How many more years we have? I can't tell you. But I can tell you this. It really doesn't matter as long as we're living our life to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're going to wait until things get bad to turn your life toward God, you're going to be sadly mistaken someday. You're going to find out that, wow, things happened and here's the Lord. And you're going to be caught unaware. God doesn't want that. Our desire is to build the body of Christ. Grow the body of Christ. Bring people into the kingdom of God. Connect people with God. But also to take this body that God has given us and train us up to be faithful servants, to stand firm on the solid rock of Jesus Christ, and to be able to learn to share this good news of the gospel with other people. And there are various ways we can do that. I'm excited about the future because I believe that God has given this church a vision to reach out into our community in various ways. We're making plans to do some things that's going to make us all a little uncomfortable. Are you ready? You know, serving God is not comfortable. He never promised us that it was going to be comfortable. You know, when I was a kid, my mom loved listening to country music. I remember Lynn Anderson had a song, I never promised you a rose garden. God never promised us a rose garden. Along with the sunshine, there's going to be a little rain sometimes. Hallelujah. That's okay, because our God walks with us through the storm. But we, as Alan aptly pointed out, we can't turn back. We got to put our hands to the plow. We got to move forward. We got to accomplish the kingdom work. It doesn't matter what happens in our nation. It doesn't matter what happens in the world. Our number one goal is the kingdom of God. And we have to, we must press forward to accomplish all that God wants us to accomplish. Look, there are scary things happening, but we cannot allow fear to hold us back. We all know God didn't give us the spirit of fear. He gave us the spirit of power, love, and sound mind. We don't have to allow this fear. But I want to tell you this. The body of Christ, as the body of Christ, we must be righteous in the way that we serve our God. We cannot carry these sins that we have any longer. It's not, you know, I'm not talking about salvation here. I'm talking about being able to be an overcomer. Many of us are carrying things in our lives that need to be set aside. Habits. If God's spoken to you about a habit, you need to get rid of it. It may not be something that bothers someone else, but if God's speaking to your heart, you better respond. Addictions of all kinds are destroying the body of Christ. People are dying because they refuse to repent and turn to the Lord. God loves you. Jesus Christ died for you, for each of us. It's incumbent upon us as believers to walk in such a way that we are ambassadors for Christ, that people will look at us and say, that's a real believer in Jesus. We don't want to bring shame on the name of Jesus. Now, I'm not up here this morning to beat you up, although I've probably done a pretty good job of it so far. Really don't mean to. What I want more than anything is for you to recognize that you're free. The grace of God is all you need. The grace of God is sufficient. The grace of God will set you free from these things that I was talking about. God's grace is incredible. He loves you so much that He will take you exactly the way you are, but He's not wanting to leave you there. He wants to take you somewhere glorious in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants to move you beyond where you are right now. And you may have been a Christian for years, but He's still working. He's still moving. He's still causing you to become greater and more of His kingdom representative every day. That's His desire for you. Praise God. I want you to know that none of that was in my notes. That was just a freebie. Hallelujah. Glory. And thank God. You know, reality is, I just want to hear from God. I want to share things with you this morning that will encourage you and cause you to recognize, but at the same time, cause you to recognize God's love, but at the same time, spur you on to holiness in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're living in a time where it is absolutely essential that we walk hand in hand with our Lord. The enemy wants to sift us. He wants to destroy us. But remember this, the greater one lives inside of you. He really can't do it unless you would let Him. He doesn't have authority over you. He'll try to tell you. He speaks to you and says, oh, you know, you're a worm. You're worthless. You shouldn't have said that, or you shouldn't have done that. That's not God's word to you. God's word is that you're the apple of his eye. Hallelujah. God's word is that the greater one does live inside of you. God's word is that you're special. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Glory. God's word to you is that you are special. You are his special child. Hallelujah. I don't know how that works, because I'm his special child. And you're his special child. And I want to tell you something. That's really important that we recognize that we are very special to our God. That relationship that we have with him is a special relationship. Tammy's mother was a very loving and unique woman. She lived with a difficult man. But he was a good man. He had a good heart. But what I want to point out about Tammy's mom is that when you talked with her mom, she made you feel like she loved you more than anybody else on the face of the earth. I think she instilled that in her children as well. But you just felt that. She would do things special for you. If you went over to her house, if you liked a certain food, she'd make sure she'd have that for you. She would do whatever to make you feel special. And that's the way our God is. He just makes us feel special because we are. We are special in his sight. Draw close to him. Get this relationship. At this time that we're going through, we need a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ where we can say, I hear your voice, Lord, and I'll respond. Glory. Well, I'm going to start with this message this morning. It's a stone cut without hands. And when I decided I was going to preach this, little did I know that Russia was going to invade Ukraine, although they've been talking about some things for a long time. But I didn't know that that was going to happen. And some of the things that we're going to study as we talk about Daniel and just make reference to Revelation, are really pertinent to the fulfillment of Bible prophecy, and it appears that some of it's happening in our day. What we're about to study this morning is one of the most amazing confirmation of God's, the reality of God directing the events of history. Him already having a plan and sharing that plan with mankind and fulfilling that plan. Now, what I want you to understand is that God manipulates, whether we realize it or not, he manipulates, he controls, and he puts leaders in place, and he tears leaders down. And it's hard for us sometimes to accept that. Because some of these leaders, some of these nations are tyrannical. They persecute people. Sometimes they kill their own people for a little reason. But don't make no mistake. Although God does not condone it, he allows it. He allows it because man's heart is so depraved. Without Christ, it's dark. And man is always running around seeking what he can take from somebody else. That's why it's so important that we recognize the goodness of Jesus Christ, the love of Christ. That he said, it's better to give than receive. That whatever we have, We should be willing to share with others. No matter how we feel, we should be willing to pour into somebody else's life. Not always easy, but it's a requirement as followers of Jesus Christ. If you're willing to accept what I'm going to be talking about, the truth of this prophecy alone proves that this thing we call the Bible is truly God's word. This book is extremely important for us to trust. You need to be able to read it. Now, I know there's a lot of voices out there these days saying, well, you know, the Bible was changed and certain people took books out and did certain things that they shouldn't have done, and we're not really left with the Word of God. Well, some of those other books, I would say you can study them. Enoch is one of them, Jubilees. You know, there's some of those books. You could read them for historical value, but they're not the Bible. And we have to stand on this thing. Every book in here, every word in here, according to the Bible itself, is inspired. God spoke to men to write it down. If you don't trust this, your salvation will be, it'll be very difficult for you to hang on to it. Because man will lie to you. Man will tell you don't believe that. That Genesis account, what are you talking about? Oh, that's impossible. Noah and the flood, that couldn't happen. I'm telling you, everything in here is recorded, happened. And everything recorded that's going to happen in prophecy will be fulfilled. Hallelujah. The Bible was the first book that was ever put into print. The man who first printed it was Johannes Gutenberg. He was actually voted the most important man to have ever lived within the past 1,000 years because the printing press, he developed it. Because of Gutenberg's invention, Martin Luther, the great reformer, was able to print many things to further the Reformation that he started, particularly his 95 Theses, making the very, very important to us as Christians to recognize that there are events that God ordained throughout history so that we could be here today with this thing we call the Bible, to be able to read it and trust it. Throughout history, evil men have tried their very best to do away with this book. They see it as a hindrance to mankind's continued growth. And we realize it's the only thing that will cause the world to be able to continue. Without it, we're going to destroy ourselves. This word is real and it's true. Collector of rare books. Had an acquaintance, and the guy came to him and he said, you know, I threw away this old Bible that I found in the attic the other day. It was dusty. It was in an old box. And it was written by some guy, printed by some guy by the name of Guten, and the collector said, Gutenberg? He said, you idiot. You've thrown away one of the first books ever printed. He said, oh, don't worry about it. He said, it wasn't any good anyhow because some guy had written in the margins all over this book. I think his name was Luther. Can you imagine that? These are historical things that are very, very important to us. Men that God called to do things that furthered the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I want you to understand something. They did it at their own peril. Many of them died, gave up their life because they were willing to further the gospel, to print Bibles, to share the Word of God, to stand on the Word of God and not allow the church, like Martin Luther, to do things that were unbiblical. Before this, there was only a certain group of people who had access to the Word of God. Priests and educated people could read Latin. And now the Bible is alive for every one of us. And guess what? We neglect it. Really? Wouldn't you say so? I mean, I'm guilty. You know, I let other things get in the way sometimes. I have a regular Bible reading that I do, but sometimes I get up in the morning and things just get crazy, and I put that aside. The most important thing in my life, the Word of God that can change me, that can help me get through these difficulties that I'm going through, I sometimes just put it aside. I want to encourage you. The Bible is your lifeline. If you're struggling with anything, the Word of God will help you. It will change you. You need people around you. You need people praying for you. You need people standing with you. But if you cannot get your encouragement from the Word of God, you'll fail. You'll fall short. You'll fall on your face. You've got to have that lifeline, the Word of God. The English word Bible is derived from the Greek word that was romanized, to Biblia, meaning the book. And that's what it is. It's a collection of 66 books written by 40 different authors. And that's incredible. Over about 1,600 years. At different times, men of different statures in life, sometimes well-educated men, sometimes priests, sometimes uneducated people, most of the time it was Jewish people, but in case of New Testament, there was even some Gentiles that wrote. And it's the Word of God for us. It's incredible that this thing we call the Bible, it's all, every one of the individual books that we look at, they're all tied together with the message of the redemption of mankind. And that thread that runs through it is the scarlet blood of Jesus Christ. Many didn't realize that until Christ came and died on the cross. But now we can go back and we can read it. We can read in the Old Testament. We can see that's talking about the Savior, the one that's coming, the Messiah, the Lord that's going to come back and set up His kingdom. And we get to rule and reign with Him. Hallelujah. Are you ready for that? Yes. Praise God. God is moving in these last days to reveal Jesus Christ. You know, sometimes people talk about the apocalypse. And when we think of apocalypse, and I'm not going to ask for you to raise your hands, but most of us probably, when we think of apocalypse, we think of disaster and plagues and all those kind of things. But in reality, that's not what apocalypse means. But because of our modern society and media, we've conjured up that idea that that's what apocalypse is. Well, the truth is that apocalypse just really means a revealing, and that's what Revelation is. It's a revealing of Jesus Christ. But God will come with many different things to reveal his Savior to mankind. As you read through Revelation, you'll see all kinds of horrible things happening. Plagues and disasters trumpet and bowls, all these things taking place, and all of a sudden God is crying out to man, wake up before it's too late. That's the purpose of those things. But the reality is, the overall purpose of Revelation, as we read it, is to reveal the Son of God to mankind. But sometimes it doesn't matter. In Revelation chapter 9, right after the trumpet plagues, it says this, verse 20, but the rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues did not repent of the works of their hands, that they should not worship demons and idols of gold, silver, brass, stone, wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk. And they did not repent of their murders or their sorceries or their sexual immorality or their thefts. No matter what, God is trying to get their attention, but they're not going to repent. They're not going to turn to him. They're going to rely on their own understanding. They've just gone through some horrible things. Cry out to the Lord. You know, sometimes we go through some difficulties. We've got to cry out to the Lord. Turn with me to Daniel chapter 2. Now, I'm not going to get very far with this message this morning, but we'll get started. Daniel chapter 2. Look at verse 14 through 18. Then with the counsel and wisdom, Daniel answered Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, who had gone out to kill the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree from the king so urgent? Then Arioch made the decision known to Daniel. Daniel didn't know what was going on, and I'm going to back up and we'll talk about that. So Daniel went in and asked the king to give him time that he might tell the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house and made the decision known to Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, his companions. Babylonian names, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. But this is their Hebrew name. that they might seek mercies from the God of heaven concerning the secrets, so that Daniel and his companion might not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Okay. Let's back up. Rather than read all of it, I'm just going to tell you basically what's happening. This king, the great king of Babylon, the ruler of probably the most powerful nation ever to be established on the face of the earth, had a dream. And his dream was a statue. And this statue had various parts to it. They had gold, silver arms, chest, waist is bronze, the legs are iron, and the feet clay and iron mixture. And what we'll find out later is that this is a prophetic utterance for throughout the history up until the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So this dream Nebuchadnezzar had was in the 6th century B.C. It begins with his kingdom, and it culminates with the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, let me go back here and give you the backdrop of what's happening. After many years of warning from the prophets to repent, Judah was attacked by Babylon, and in 605 B.C., Daniel, and the most Bible scholars agree with this, that probably Daniel and his friends were all taken to Babylon during that period of time. This Jerusalem and Judah was invaded in three phases. The first one was that first phase where these young men were taken. Most Bible scholars agree that all the young men and all the leading people of Judah was taken to Babylon at that time. We don't know exactly what happened during this period of time, but they were definitely taken into Babylon. After 3 years of serving Nebuchadnezzar, Jehoiakim rebelled against Babylon and asked the Egyptians to help him. And that turned out pretty bad. The Egyptians were defeated, and there was another wave of people taken. The only people left after this was the poorest people. You can read that in 2 Kings 24, 8 through 16. And at that time, Nebuchadnezzar appointed another king, Zedekiah, to rule as his representative in Judah. For about 10 years, he did that. And then Zedekiah rebelled against Nebuchadnezzar. This time, in 586 B.C., Nebuchadnezzar had enough of the rebellion. And he went in this time and completely ransacked the city, destroyed the temple, took everything that was significant to their worship. He had already taken lots of things, but he took absolutely everything. The city was completely and totally destroyed. The only people left was a small remnant of very poor people that they left to farm and cultivate the vineyards. So what we're about to study here took place within 3 years after Daniel was taken captive in Babylon. And a thing I want to share with you this morning, my first point is, and then I want to just get started with this, and then we'll move on. But my first point this morning is, God is in control. Do not make the mistake of thinking that the government is in control. That some man, because he makes a decree, is in control. The most powerful person on the face of the earth right now can do nothing unless God allows him to. Our God is in control. God does allow things to happen. Amen. But we can trust our God. We can trust that He has everything under control for us. All things will turn out for our good. I can't explain the way it looks sometimes, but that's His promise. That He's going to be with us. He's going to lead us. He's going to allow us to do His kingdom work in spite of the decrees that man makes. Hallelujah. Look at the New Testament. Look at what the disciples did after Jesus' resurrection. They went out and started preaching the gospel everywhere. And what happened? On every turn, man tried to stop them. It wasn't easy. It was a difficult task. But the harder man tried to stop, the more glorious the message became. And the more they promoted that message. Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Jesus died for your sins. Nebuchadnezzar had that dream, and I explained that dream to you. Let's look at verse 19 through 23. Then the secret was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. So Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his, and he changes the times and the seasons." Who changes times and seasons? God does, not man, although man tries to. He removes kings and raises up kings. That's the point I want you to understand this morning. God does put leaders in position. He allows them to come into, sometimes because of the hardness of God, of man's heart. He allows certain leaders to come into position because we've turned our hearts away from the living God. He allows us to have our way. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and secret things. He knows what is in the darkness, and light dwells with him. I thank you and praise you, O God of my Father. You have given me wisdom and might, and have now made known to me what we ask of you. For you have made known to us the king's demand. Daniel was under no delusion. He knew Nebuchadnezzar had full power and authority. If he decided he wanted to kill somebody, he wanted your head, off with your head, that's what was going to happen. But even though he had that power and authority, Daniel understood the true ruler of this world. And he feared God more than he feared man. So he was willing to confront the king and tell him what God had shared with him. He was willing to go before him. As I think about this, I wonder how fearful that might have been for Daniel, because he knew the power that the king had. And yet it seemed like he was firm and willing to be able to share the truth with this king. God allows mankind to have their way. God has a perfect will. I'm telling you. And he desires us, all of us, to walk in that perfect will. But we can sometimes get outside of that perfect will. And we can really mess things up. Thank God for his grace. That when we mess, it doesn't matter how much of a mess we make. Glory. When my grandchildren come over to the house, especially those two little girls, our house is a mess. They spread toys all over the place, and we have this kitchen set for them, and they get kitchen stuff out, and they in our living room, and it's everywhere. Praise God. And we tell them, you got to clean up your mess. Well, you know, a four-year-old and a two-year-old, cleaning up a mess is not exactly our idea of cleaning up the mess. So guess what? Graham and Pap have to swoop in and help clean up the mess. Your God is right there. When you cry out to him, he's ready to clean up your mess. I'm telling you. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. Cry out to him. He's there. That's what Daniel did. His life was at stake here. They were going to kill all the wise men. He was part of that. They were going to kill all of them. And he went to God. He cried out to the living God. And God heard his petition and answered. And gave him the interpretation of this dream. Listen. If you're looking for politicians, I don't care what your politics is, Republican, Democrat, Libertarian, it doesn't matter. If you're looking for man to fix this mess, you're going to be sadly disappointed. Only God. That's why we have to cry out to him. That's why we have to spend some time in his presence. We need to hear his voice. First Samuel chapter 8. Samuel, the people have cried out, and they want a king. They want a king like all the other nations have a king. They wasn't satisfied with the judges that God chose for them, the righteous, holy men that was leading and directing them. They wanted a king. And Samuel warned them. He gave them a whole list of things that the king would require of them. He warned them, this king is going to put you in servitude. Is that what you want? Yeah, that's what they wanted. They were fixed on it. And of course, you know, we know the history now down through the generations of the kings. They were always making decrees, and sometimes they had good kings, sometimes they had bad kings. But regardless, those kings were in charge. Those kings took their children and made them servants in their palace. Those kings made them work in the fields for them. Those kings made them the children run before their chariots, and they put them in their armies and made them fight for them. Those kings ruled over the people. You see, we got to be careful what we ask for. Let's allow God to be in control. Let's cry out to him. Let's search and seek our God. Hallelujah. Praise God. I've lost track of my time, Tammy. How long have I been going? Well, I know it is, but where's Eddie when you need him? He always keeps track of time. Well, you know, this next phase of what I want to talk about may take some time, and I don't want to get too far, too in depth, but let me just share this scripture. Psalms 23:4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. I guess what I want to do more than anything this morning is I just want to encourage you that, you know, even though you're going through some really difficult times, God is still there. The enemy wants to convince you that your God has abandoned you. He has not. He will not. He is with you. But you have to trust him no matter what's happening, no matter how the circumstance looks, no matter how difficult it is. We've got to be like David when he went through the situation with his men turning on him. He said he encouraged himself in the Lord. You can't depend on other people all the time. Now, we need to protect and pray for and encourage one another, but you cannot just depend on other people to lift you up and encourage you all the time. You have to be able to internalize that from the Word of God. You must be able to cry out to your God and allow Him to encourage you no matter what you're going through. What a God we serve. Mm-hmm. He promises. You know, real quick, I want to talk to you just a little bit about in the book of Acts. Turn to me with me to Acts chapter 27, verse 9. I don't know where this is going this morning. I don't know where any of this has been going. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 27, verse 9. I'm not sure what I said, but that's what it is. All right. Now, when much time had been spent and sailing was now dangerous because the fast was already over, Paul advised them. The fast he's talking about is it's the great day of atonement. They fasted during that time. So that's what he's making reference to. He's making reference to that so that we could have an understanding of the time, the season that they were in. Because during this season, after the great day of atonement, the season for sailing was pretty much over. Because storms would rise up quickly in the Mediterranean Sea. So you really shouldn't be traveling across the sea or going any place during that time. So that's the reason Paul puts that in there, to give us a reference of the time frame and what's going on. Saying, men, I perceive that this voyage will end with disaster. You see, the man of God knew something the rest of the people didn't know. When we draw close to our God, when we do our very best to allow Him to speak to our heart, we will discern things that people around us do not discern. We will see things. We will hear things. We will understand things. Because it's supernatural. If we do not have a supernatural God, if our God is not speaking to us today, if He's not directing me every day of my life, this life is not worth living. Amen? Yeah. I must have a God, and I do have a God. That every morning when I get up, I put my feet on the floor. I know He's there. I say, thank You, Lord, for this another wonderful day You've given me. Hallelujah. But sometimes it's hard. Sometimes when there's things going on in my family or people around me, it's very difficult. You know, I have a greater urgency to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with people than I've ever had before. I've missed it so many times. I'm going to share this with you. I hope it's okay, Karen, but a good friend, a man, as far as I know, never turned his life to the Lord. Do you know anything? You think he did? Okay, good. Praise God. But you know, I hadn't seen Jim for many, many years. And I hadn't shared the gospel with him. I wished I had. He needed it. It was Karen's former husband, Jim Lodwick. He passed away this morning in Columbus. And these kind of things recently have really been making an impact on me. I have people around me. They need to hear the gospel. And I got to get myself out of the way. I got to stop worrying about what they're going to think. I got to start being more concerned about their soul than how what they think about me. Jim was a good friend when I was growing up. We spent a lot of time together. I actually lived with him and Karen in an apartment in Chester. those are days I don't like to think about much, but yeah. But Jim always had a good heart. He was just a good man, and he didn't grow up in a Christian family, so he was never directed toward God. But I'm sure that Karen had some influence on him. But I know this. We have a lost and dying world out there. And it's our responsibility, just like it was with the disciples, to share the gospel. I want to do that in a greater way. We're making plans to do that. But I want you to understand this. In order for us to do that, we have to get our hearts right with the Lord. No matter what you're going through this morning, the Lord wants to set you on the right course. He wants to deliver you from any addiction, any habit, any sin that might easily beset you, as the scripture says. He wants you set free. And he wants to do that today. I believe that. So I'm going to ask you to stand with me. If you're here this morning and you just like to have special prayer, you just feel like you need the Lord to move in an incredible way in your life, come up so I can pray with you. You know, the Bible tells us the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man is very powerful. Well, you know, I'm not any better than any of the rest of you. My righteousness is based on the blood of Jesus Christ. And when I pray because that blood cleansed me and set me free. Each and every one of you have the same authority, same ability, same power to pray and see incredible things happen. It's time for the miracles to be released.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Oh, I believe you, Lord God.
It's time for people to be set free and delivered.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob again. I pray you enjoyed this podcast. What a blessing it has been to have you join us on this social media platform. If you would like more information about Bethel, please check out our website at bethelchurch.community. You can also follow us on our Facebook page at Bethel Church, Tepper's Plains. Have a blessed day, and remember, love never fails.